The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And very pleasant good afternoon. We have made it to Friday, and thanks so much for being a part of the program. It seems like every day there's something about Nick Saban in the air. We had him the other day. Then it was Jimbo Fisher talking. And now Nick Saban has responded. He was in Mobile, Alabama last night, speaking at Mike Godfrey's Team Focus event. And he decided to respond. Well, he had no choice. He was surrounded by a group of media members to ask about Jimbo saying that Saban was going down.
Coach, got to ask, your friend Jimbo said yesterday that at some point while you're in Tuscaloosa, he was going to beat your butt. That wasn't the word that he used, but did you have any response for that?
In golf?
I think he meant on the football field.
Well, I'm sure there'll come a day, you know, but is that what he's talking about? Football?
He was talking about football.
He used to be on my noontime basketball league, I guess. You know, we're no longer partners, you know, when it comes to that. Coach. Now, they have a really good team, really good program, and, you know, they're getting better and better all the time. And there's a lot of challenges in the SEC, and they're certainly one of the up-and-coming programs. And he's always been a great coach, did a great job for us when he was with us, and he's had a great career as a head coach. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us, no doubt, when we have to play him.
Oh, okay. What was Saban supposed to say? I'll double the 28 that I put on you last time around. Anyway, a lot to talk about there. And we will talk to you in just a moment. Let's talk about some other things that are currently going on here. And how about this from the Wall Street Journal? Roll Vax. Alabama drafts Nick Saban to champion the vaccine. This took place earlier in the week. And we'll have the man who was in charge of it all joining us in just a couple of minutes, Gene Hallman, who is the CEO of the Bruno event team, and he puts on the golf tournament there and has also played a big role in Alabama being vaccinated. So interesting, as we see Saban and others, Commissioner Sankey and I believe Barkley and a couple of other folks, Kirby Smart, Tuberville, former coach, now senator, doing PSAs for the vaccine. Let's keep going and tell you what we are going to do today. The aforementioned Gene Hallman joining us. Kyle Trask, Heisman finalist, and now hopefully back up to the GOAT in Tampa Bay. We'll talk to Kyle for the first time since he was drafted. Dr. Kevin Elko on this Mother's Day weekend and the pandemic and where we go from here. He's a longtime consultant to Nick Saban and other schools and other professional franchises, and Kyle Peterson getting us ready for the college baseball weekend. Your phone calls right now, 242-7285. A lot of guests in the first hour, so we'll try to squeeze a few of you in at the moment. And let's talk to Trey, who starts us off in Georgia. Hello, Trey. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
It's Terry, but it's
Terry.
Okay.
Okay. Terry, hey. My apologies.
Yeah, maybe Jimbo was talking about backgammon.
Terry, I don't know. I think it just shows you that there is a dearth of news this week. But I think it's good for college football when two of the biggest names.
But you should know there's always somebody recording, so somebody's going to catch something. But anyway.
Yeah.
What a great week you've had. So many good interviews the last couple of days. They've been really amazing. But I know that actually Sankey and even maybe Saban feel like the college playoff expansions, maybe they're okay with the way they are. But I'm here to say that I'm a college football fan, and it's just I feel like the expansion would be great for college football. And not getting crazy, but, you know, I like the 10 to 12 team format to keep so many people interested in it all year. And maybe you could cut down on the games that don't matter, you know, to cupcakes. And maybe they could start an account for some of the smaller schools that might need a little money.
Well, Terry, there's no question. It is going to happen. It's inevitable. It really is simply a matter of when does it happen? Does it happen in 2 years, three, or four?
Well, how do you feel about it?
I think expansion should happen, and I don't think you can I don't think you can justify a reason that it will make the college football playoff any better. But right now, it can't be any worse. So I
agree.
I think we have to try something. And anything that makes the season more the college football experience more exciting, I am in favor of. And I think it's essential that it happens soon, because people are tuning out when it comes to the playoff, and that is the opposite of what you want in your sport.
Thank you for clarifying. That means so much. I feel the same way. I'm a grown up watching the games and all the bowls, and they used to matter. Now it's like, the bowl season is just awful.
Yeah, it really is. Well, thank
you.
But
anyway.
Well, Terry, thank you for calling, and it's really good to hear from you. And Christian is up next. Hey, Christian, you're on the air.
What's up, Paul? How you doing today?
Oh, we are doing well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. First off, I saw news that Sam Ellinger's brother from Texas, I think his name was Jake, recently passed away. Prayers to the Ellinger family, and of course Sam Ellinger, who was the quarterback at Texas. So I wanted to say that real quick, and then I wanted to get your thoughts on what you personally have seen from Alabama so far this spring season. And it looks like they even though they lost a lot, as you know, I mean, they don't rebuild, they reload, but it looks like we could have another championship run this year. What do you think?
Yeah, Christian, the preseason polls indicate that, and we know Alabama has lost a number of players. That was evident last weekend during the draft. But that's an every April story. It's now a matter of how the ones that take their place develop. Certainly, the quarterback is where I'm focused on. I think the defense will be. I've heard the defense may be the best Alabama defense in a number of years.
Well, I mean, that would definitely say a lot because, as you know, I mean, recent years we've seen it really not just for Alabama but in college football in general. I mean, it shifted to a more offensive type of era. But, I mean, go back to 09, 11, and 12. I mean, those were, in an era of defense wins championships, and Saban just was so defense dominant at Alabama. And I really feel like they've gotten a little bit away from that. But at the same time, like, I feel like we'll just have one of those years – where obviously, even though we got Bryce Young, who's so hyped up, I feel like the offense takes a small step back, but I also think the defense will take a huge step forward.
Well, I tell you, a great defense today is remarkable, because very few people, if anyone, plays defense. Christian, thank you. How about DL up next? Good afternoon to you. DL, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, good. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
Thank you.
Just to the point of Jumbo Fisher's call or the comment he made, Nick Saban is going to gear up for that and probably try to run the table on him, shut him out. But just to that question, a few years ago, LSU ran the table in the SEC. Who is Alabama's toughest competition in the coming season? And how do you see that?
Well, I think the two toughest games right now would be – well, there's three tough games. Well, there are a lot of tough games. But I think the toughest is going to be at A&M. The second one would be LSU at home. And probably the third one I would go with at Florida. Miami's not far behind that. But I normally would say Auburn, but I don't think Auburn's going to be that great. So I'm not as concerned about Auburn.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Thank you for the call. Alabama, I think if you did it according to rankings, A&M is going to be the highest ranked Alabama team, highest ranked team on the schedule, at least at the beginning of the year. LSU will be not very far behind that. We will take a break. We have a lot to do, and we'll head to Birmingham and talk to Gene Hallman in just a moment. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. We spent most of our program Wednesday at the Tradition in Birmingham, and the man who runs not only that tournament, but dozens of tournaments, not only in Alabama, but around the country, is Gene Hallman. He's the president and CEO of the Bruno Event Team. For those longtime listeners of this program, I'd say they know him pretty well. Former co-host at times back in the day when we had more people in the studio than listeners. Gene Hallman, great to have you back on the show. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paul. We're doing great.
Well, I first of all, thank you for all your assistance. Gene came to Birmingham to run that tournament, and a lot of his friends used to ask him what he did the other 51 weeks of the year. having spent the one year many years ago when I was still a newspaper reporter, I hung out with Gene from morning until night on the final day of the tournament. I found out that it's a full-time job, and now he has multiple of that. But something so interesting, Gene, that I know you did this week, you've been working really for the past year with a number of groups in Alabama dealing with the pandemic and now with the vaccination. So help us understand what you've been doing, because there's a big article out today. It will be seen tomorrow in the print edition of the Wall Street Journal on some of the work you've done, and including none other than Nick Saban, someone you know very well.
Well, Paul, last year was a very difficult year for many people and a lot of businesses, including ours. We had 23 sporting events around the country canceled. Midway through the year, we were working hard on a pivot, and we found one doing logistics, testing, supply chain management, quarantine and isolation programs at the University of Alabama. All these things that revolve around event management, we could apply to the pandemic efforts, be it testing and ultimately getting the vaccine. And it was a godsend. We were able to not have to lay off a single person. We stayed very busy during that down year and then to this year. And so we have been in the midst of working closely with our friends at the Alabama Department of Public Health on marketing the vaccine and encouraging people to learn more about the vaccine, to at least understand the science behind it and then make your own decision, but we are hopeful that decision will be to get the vaccine. And so we did a lot of research, and our research told us don't use national figures to promote the vaccine. Barack Obama was one of the figures that we most notably called out. Charles Barkley was another one. And they got very low approval ratings relative to vaccine endorsements. So initially in our marketing efforts, we weren't thinking that. We were thinking along the lines of regional medical doctors and nurses to convince their patients to go and get the vaccine.
But we kept getting questions about the use of Nick Saban in terms of promoting getting the vaccine. He's been very public about getting the vaccine. He has taken it himself. And as you know, he was here on Wednesday along with a lot of other A-list celebrities. And we started asking questions, and every single one of them agreed to be a part of this marketing campaign that we're putting together. And it will hit the streets here statewide in Alabama next week, that if you want full stadiums and arenas in the fall, consider taking the vaccine. Do your part, because we're not done with this pandemic yet.
Gene, about a third of the country has taken it. It is controversial. We hear questions every day on this program. And as you know, better than anyone, the state of Alabama is near the bottom of that list. Was it difficult to convince Coach Saban to lend a hand?
It took about 2 seconds. When we shared the narrative that we had in the teleprompter with him, which was going to be about our student athletes want to play in front of large crowds. Our student athletes want to have that home field advantage at Bryant-Denny. And then he didn't say this, but, you know, the economic impact to the communities in the SEC that host these games in the fall, and then the finances that the university, the economic loss from last year, all those things weigh into, let's do everything we can to have a full stadium in the fall. The intention, I think, by everyone in the conference is to have full stadiums, but as you know, Paul, since the late 90s, we worked with the SEC in managing the baseball tournament in Hoover. And the announcement on attendance and the expectations around that is coming out next week. The one thing I can tell you is it won't be 100%. So if you took that and assumed if fall football were starting in 2 or 3 weeks, we wouldn't be at full stadium. So we've got work to do. We've got to move the numbers in the right direction. We've got to get more vaccinations in arms. And these health numbers, these public health numbers, need to remain under control to get to that full stadium.
In terms of what you and your group felt or still feel that Nick Saban can bring to it, I was struck in the article by his numbers. And what I mean by that, in spite of the fact that we all know how competitive college football, well, maybe used to be in Alabama, almost everyone likes him, believes in him.
Well, I saw those numbers in the article, and frankly, I didn't have access to those particular numbers that were cited in the Wall Street Journal article. He has a Q rating unlike any politician in this country. And you know, frankly, you've given enough big interviews in your life where you say something, it appears in print, and you go, gosh, should I have said that? But then I said, yeah, I'm glad I said it. But I say in the article, the biggest influence in our state is Nick Saban, even if you're an Auburn fan. And what I mean by that is whether you pull for the Crimson Tide or not, you respect the man. You respect his integrity, how he goes about doing things. And so we saw him as a figure that could help move the needle in this state toward getting the vaccine.
Gene, he wasn't the only one that did it, but certainly he was the most prominent. I don't want to leave anyone out, but how many people did you use in trying to get the message out?
We have around 8 or 9 that agreed in addition to Coach Saban, some of them Tommy Tuberville, Nate Oates, Alan Green, Charles Barkley, Bill Clark from UAB, and then, frankly, in my mind, probably as notable as anyone, including Saban, was Commissioner Greg Sankey. He gave a pro-vaccine message, which we're going to utilize in this campaign, and let's face it, he's the ultimate arbiter of whether we're going to have full stadium crowds in the fall in the SEC, and here he is saying, look, help make my job easier, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, help make my job easier. Let's do everything we can to safely convene in the fall with full stadiums. And the way we can do that is getting your vaccine.
Gene, from your experience, and as you mentioned, you've run the game day operation in Alabama for many, many years. And if you're trying to get to an Alabama game, you lean on Gene's group pretty heavily because like any stadium with an interstate system like Alabama's, it's not the easiest road. What was it like last year with such limited crowds and?
It was surreal, Paul. It's a great question. I remember vividly standing on the quad an hour before kickoff at the Iron Bowl, and I took my phone out to get video because I said to myself, I'm never going to remember it being this desolate and empty and void of people. I had to capture it on my phone because it was amazing. An hour before the biggest game in this state and arguably one of the biggest in the country every year, there was not one single person on the quad, not one. And let's face it, the commissioner and all of college football did a tremendous job pulling the season off last year. But at the end of the day, it's not. I mean, it hurt economically a lot of companies, businesses, hotels, restaurants, universities. And I think in many respects, the student athletes, they really miss playing in front of big crowds. They're performers. They want to play at home in front of that home field advantage that really no one had this past year. So we shouldn't be lulled into thinking that it's automatic that full stadiums will occur in the fall. We need to think about the pain of last season and use that as a motivation to go do something. And our research tells us this, Paul. You mentioned a third roughly have received the vaccine. In very broad numbers, the remaining two-thirds, I would say over half are on the fence. Well over half are on the fence. And those are the people we're after. Those that are waiting and seeing, and there are a lot of them, we want to do anything we can to get them to invest their time and looking it up, get more comfortable with the science, or relying on someone like Nick Saban or Charles Barkley or Greg Sankey to influence your decision.
One last question, because, Gene, we talked to you on March 12, 2020, as literally the sports world was coming apart. It was one of the worst days, in at least, we've ever dealt with. Moving past the vaccine, and I know that's the issue next, but there is optimism everywhere. And as someone who not only does events all over the country, but is connected to people that do them all over the country, if not the world, what is the level of optimism that we are pretty close to getting on the other side of this?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I think the optimism is high among the people in my industry, among just people in the general public. We've had two major sporting events, including this one, in the last 3 weeks, and people are dying to get back out. There is no substitute for live sporting events. But when you talk to the public health officials, and even the commissioner, they're still somewhat guarded in their opinion that we are there. Yeah, everything's trending in the right direction. But let's face it, I think there's no state in this country that is satisfied with their current levels of vaccination, not one. And there's work to be done. And it's a little bit mystifying, I think, to everyone how the demand has slowed so quickly. I think everyone assumed we would get higher numbers quicker because the demand early on was so great and far exceeded the supply, and it slowed down dramatically. And maybe there's this sense of complacency that we are home free and I don't need to go get mine. But in working with our public health officials, they will quickly tell you that we are not home free.
Gene Hallman, president and CEO of the Bruno event team, on the addition of Nick Saban, big article in the Wall Street Journal that features this. Gene, thanks so much. All the best this weekend, and I do hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Paul.
You got it. One of the all-time best, Gene Hallman, joining us from Birmingham. We'll talk about that in a little while, and we can take your phone calls at 855-242-7285 when we come back. Another important guest, he is Kyle Trask, former Gator, now Buccaneer.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we continue here on a Friday afternoon. We appreciate all of you being here. All season long, we talked about Kyle Trask leading the Gators to the SEC championship game. Of course, a Heisman finalist, and now he has been drafted by the Tampa Bay Bucs, and he joins us now. Kyle, thank you so much. First of all, congratulations. It's great to have you on.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, so much to talk about, but I want to start with the Bucs. I'm sure you wanted to be with a team. I don't know if it really mattered, but I would guess. You tell us how exciting it is to be with that team of all teams.
Yeah, to be on the team like the Buccaneers. I mean, reigning Super Bowl champions for one. Also, it's right down the road from Gainesville, so it's pretty familiar territory for me. And I know they're returning, I think, all of their starters. So, I mean, the teams, the organization's in a great place, and I'm just happy to be here and learn as much football as I can.
Well, let's talk about the obvious, and certainly, being a Florida quarterback, you've encountered all the great ones. They're not hard to find, but when we talk about Tom Brady, we're talking about something of the likes we've never seen before. I've read where he's invited you to throw with him. Tell us about being around Brady and what's next with you and Tom Brady.
Yes, I mean, a couple of days after the draft, he texted me, and congratulating me, welcoming me to the team, and letting me know that we can get together and throw whenever I get into town and get settled in, things like that. And, just those little things like that really, mean a lot for a rookie coming up, have those veteran players reach out and really make you feel welcome.
Kyle, let's talk about the obvious here. I mean, we're talking in Tom Brady about the greatest quarterback of all time. What he did a couple of months ago has never been reached, and nobody has never been come close to, and we'll never probably see it again. So when you watch Tom Brady, when you think about working with Tom Brady on the same team, I know you're not easily awed, but that has to be pretty bizarre, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely very, surreal for me. Just a player I definitely looked up to a lot, growing up throughout the years. And, just watching him on tape, he's definitely still got it. He's very efficient throwing the football. And he definitely, knows the recipe for success. So it's an honor just to, be in the same building as him.
Kyle, let's go back a little bit to your career at Florida. It's been well chronicled, but as you walk away from that and ready yourself for the NFL, what are your lasting memories of being in Gainesville?
Just looking back on all the relationships I've made, all the great people, staff members and coaches I've encountered over the past 5 years, they're memories that I'll cherish forever. Every team – while I was there, had something special about them that, I'll never forget.
Kyle, this year, you guys came so close, a near miss at A&M, and then toward the end, it got a little bit rocky, although you came very close to Alabama. I know you can't go back, but because so many weird things happen, but take us through those last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's definitely not an ideal finish to the season, to say the least. But, looking back on it, we gave it our all. And, when you leave it all out there on the field, there's no regrets, only learning experiences. So, we're just going to take that and move forward in our careers.
And I'm curious, before you go, because this is the time of the year that all of us sit around and try to figure out what's going to happen next. And I know your focus is on the Bucs, but what do you think the Gators look like next year?
I think they look very solid. I know they have a great group of, you know, young guys that are going to step up into those leadership roles. I know they had a couple of transfers come in that have been doing a great job from what I've been hearing. So I'm super excited to see what they're going to do this upcoming season.
Well, Kyle, again, congratulations. I know this is has to be an exciting time in your life, not only to get drafted, but to play with the Super Bowl team and Tom Brady. We wish you all the best. Thanks for making time for us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Kyle Trask joining us, talking about what's ahead for him with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's ahead for us is your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Kevin Elko coming up in the next hour. And more after that. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Brendan is up next in New Jersey. Hello, Brendan.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I got a question about the Alabama offense. How do you feel about the wideout? Who do you feel will step up after John Michie and Slade Bolden?
Yeah, I think they have a lot of options, and I don't think it's totally settled yet, but based on what I've seen over the last couple of years, that is one of the deepest rooms that Alabama has had, Brendan. And yeah, when you think about the last couple of years, from, you know, Scruggs to Ruggs, excuse me, to the group that left last year, to the two guys this year, and Michie, I mean, I think they are – I think they'll be very strong, and I think Bryce Young is going to help that, because, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to replicate what Mac Jones did from an accuracy standpoint, but he can throw the ball a long way. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much, and let's check out Joey, who is in Alabama. Hello, Joey.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, Joey.
Hi, Paul. I just was going to ask you, man. I've been taking a lot of crap here recently from some of the boys down there as a job. So, listen, and I know right now it's just had the whole draft and everything, but I want to ask you, I'm a huge Ole Miss fan, Paul, and I just, it's one of these things of, I've been watching Matt Corral here past couple years, and I tell you, after what I've seen this past year out of him, and the amount of points he put up on that board, as bad of a defense as we had, we still won five games, and we're putting up 30, 40 points a game every single game. Paul, I don't understand why he wouldn't be like a third, second-round pick next year in the draft. And I've been getting crap for that, but I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, Joey, right now I don't think we have any idea. I think the thing, the rap against Matt Corral would be his inconsistency. A couple of games last year, if I remember, maybe the Arkansas game stood out, and we talked to him about that a couple of weeks ago, as well as Lane Kiffin. He acknowledges it. I expect him to have a big year, but I, as a fan, please don't get hung up on the draft. You don't realize, like our last guest, I mean, Kyle Trask was the favorite to win the Heisman for most of the season, and he didn't go that high. The way the NFL looks at things is not indicative of what kind of college player you are. They're looking for specifics, and in college football, you need an overall leader and somebody who can move the chain. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. Let's check out Dub, who is up next. Good afternoon, Dub. Dub, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, let me go to Don next in Iowa. Hey, Don, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Yes, I am a fan since 10 years old. I'm now 87. I'm a native of Alabama, rooted in Alabama. But I'm excited now. I think the Alabama football is going to be great with Nick Saban, although I'm still rooting for him when football season comes. But now I'm getting excited about basketball, and I'd like to know your thoughts on that coach they have now, Oates. Is he going to be another Nick Saban, you think?
No, I don't think he is, because I don't think there is going to ever be another Nick Saban. But I think he has a chance to be very good. I think he already is very good. Alabama will have a preseason top 10, top 15 team next year. I thought his command of this season was phenomenal. Now, the one thing you have to wonder about He does catch a lot of – not catching anybody by surprise, but at some point things do catch up. But I think Nate Oates is a spectacular coach. But he, with all due respect to Nate Oates, he is not Nick Saban. Robert is next in Connecticut. Robert, go right ahead.
Okay, Paul. Good evening, morning, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Okay, about the college football playoff system. They've been talking about expanding it. And I just tell you, I like it where it is. And if you expand it, you might take the season all the way to February. You have to keep in mind about academics, too. It's a two-way street in that regard. You can't extend the college football season all the way to February because of academics, because I like the college football playoff system the way it is right now.
Well, Robert, you make some good points. However, it's not staying where it is right now. The director of the college football playoff was here the other day, and he acknowledged that it is going to change. So it's simply a matter of whether it's going to go to 8, 10, or 12. It's not there is no longer any debate about whether it will remain the same.
Okay, but I just wanted to share my viewpoint about, you know, they have to take academics into consideration, too.
Who is your team? I'm curious which team takes academics as seriously as you do.
Well, my college football team is Notre Dame.
Okay, well, maybe they do. But I'm glad you brought up academics, Robert. It's nice to hear that still mentioned occasionally in the realm of college football. James is up next. Hello, James.
Academics. That is a nice idea, isn't it, Paul?
It's breath of fresh air to hear that mentioned.
Oh man, must be a slow day.
Well, speed it up.
Well, I not that it matters, and Robert and I both understand what we think doesn't really matter, but. I see this as just one more, and when I say this, I mean the college football playoff, the expansion. I see it as just one more angle at the cancel culture. Not that it matters what I say.
James, it does matter because you're speaking right now, so why do you think it involves the cancel culture?
Well, why do I think it involves the cancel culture? Anything to change what we have, just for the pure sake of change. So we're pushing this country to where we all have the same thing, or nothing we have is different, where what you have is the same as what I have. And when we get there, why will it make any difference to anybody? And that is the point.
James, I'm not sure I understand your point, but what I do know is this, that in college football, there is a playoff. It's going to expand. I don't know how that and the cancel culture have anything to do with each other, and you certainly haven't explained how it does.
That I've heard you say on this program, on the Paul Feinbaum show, that some of the games are awful.
They are.
When we expand – and we have 1 against 8 and 2 against 7, unless we really
I'll tell you what, James.
Will there be more awful games,
James,
Paul? That's what I'm asking you. There be more awful games?
Sure.
Bring more – or is that going to make the product better? And is it expanding it and you have more awful games? Are you going to have more people come to the table as
James, you clearly don't understand anything about college athletics in television.
Well, enlighten me.
I'm trying to.
I mean, when you're trying to get Cincinnati at the table and they're 68 in the RPI, how is that making the product better?
Well, all I know is they came within a hair of beating Georgia, which was a top 10 team. Listen, this has nothing to do with cancel culture. It has everything to do with inclusion, a word I'm sure you're not crazy about. But the smaller schools feel like they have a right to be at the table since they're part of the process. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Your phone calls at 855-242-7285.